On this episode, you will learn 5 tax mistakes to avoid. We'll go over a problem with LLCs. Next, we'll dive into 1 problem with hiring employees that are out of state that's rarely discussed. And we'll wrap up with why a luxury vehicle can be a bad tax deduction. As always, if this episode helps you, brings you value, please do me a favor and share it with a friend. Thank you and enjoy the show. Welcome to Build Your Wealth Muscle, a podcast dedicated to helping fitness entrepreneurs build wealth by saving taxes and growing their money. Each episode will break down different strategies in the areas of business, tax, and retirement planning specifically for your coaching business. Disclaimer, the topics covered in this podcast are for educational purposes only. This is not advice for your specific situation. Please consult a qualified financial or tax professional before making any changes to your financial or tax situation. Now here's your host, certified financial planner and tax advisor, Pat Darby. Hey everybody, welcome back to Build Your Wealth Muscle. We haven't had an episode in a little bit because of the holidays and had a few work travels, so things have been pretty busy, so I appreciate you guys understanding that it's why we had a couple weeks off. But as we get to the end of the year, I'm recording this in early December. As we get to the end of the year, we talked a lot about tax strategies like they want to implement for year end. But I want to make sure we also go over what are quote unquote popular tax strategies that may not be applicable for you. So again, there a lot of them that we're going to talk about today, they are legit. But the problem is most people can't fully utilize it, or it actually wouldn't save them money for whatever reason. So we're going to dive into that today. So the first one that we're going to go into is the C Corp, like the C Corporation. As you guys know, most people that, well, I talk a lot on the show about S Corporations. That's what's going to be applicable for the vast majority of people. But the C Corp gets talked about a lot, and in 2 main areas that I think is misleading to people. One is you hear like you form the C Corp to borrow out money. The reason most people don't want to use a C Corp is because there's 2 layers of taxation at the corporate level, and then you pay again at your personal capital gains rate. And so that typically ends up being higher than if you just paid the regular taxes through the S Corporation. The second reason people often promote C Corps is because of something called 1202 small business stock, where you might hear people like, oh, it's great. If you sell your company, you can exclude anything you make, I believe up to like 10 million plus, which is great. But the problem is it doesn't apply to most people for 2 reasons. One, most people listening to this podcast, you're running trying to run a profitable business. For this to make sense for you to be able to exclude $10+ million, one, you need to be able to sell your company, because it's the sale. It's not the income that you're getting any protection from. So if you're trying to run a high profit business, then this wouldn't help you. And 2, the other problem is not a lot of companies sell. And if you're listening to this, because I have a younger demographic, you may not be looking to sell for quite some time. Where this makes sense for a lot of people that do it are more in the Silicon Valley venture capital world, because their business models are very different. They're not necessarily running highly profitable business in terms of cash flow, but they can sell it very profitably. And so those might work. So those could be very popular. And again, the whole concept of today is legit strategies that don't work for most people. Again, we're not saying that they don't work. So if you hear somebody saying, oh, I did it, they didn't do anything wrong, but your business model might be very different than theirs, especially, again, these are popular in the tech space. So just in general, be very cautious of people promoting a C Corp for you. Now, there's instances when we will promote a C Corp, but as an addition to a regular tax strategy. For example, we might be shifting money to a C Corp and trying to zero it out for medical deductions and things like that. So I'm not saying all C Corps are bad, but again, the vast majority of people, it's probably a not an applicable strategy for you. Excuse me. Coming off being sick, I don't know if my voice even sounds weird, but hopefully it doesn't. So let's move on to the next strategy. That is an LLC in a non-tax state. There's nine states that don't charge tax, state income tax, I should say. The popular ones people know about: Nevada, Texas, Florida. And the challenge you're going to run into is people are going to promote to you, if you're living in California, you're living in New Jersey, New York, oh, set up a Florida LLC, set up a Nevada LLC. Now, if you live in those states, these are great entities to have. But if your business is where you live. So if you're an online provider of services, it doesn't matter where your LLC sits. If your home is in California and that's where you live, if your home is in New Jersey, it doesn't matter that you built an LLC down in Florida and that you put a PO box down in Florida. That doesn't help you. So again, these get promoted by companies that are likely not signing your tax return, that are telling you to put your business in these states. It won't help you because what each state goes by is where you live. Now, again, I'm going to try to make caveats to this. That's for your operational business. So again, if you're listening to this, your operational business should be where you live. Now, if you're buying rental real estate, it does make sense to have the LLC in the state where the property is. So if that happens to be you're a California resident and you're buying property in Nevada, then it makes sense for your lawyer to recommend putting the LLC in Nevada. But again, these are going to get promoted by people that are focusing on the strategy, not the reality of where you live. And as a side note on where you live, just be aware, because I don't see this get talked about very often. We're obviously in a very virtual, remote working environment right now, post-COVID. And obviously, people listening, they're online service providers. You could work anywhere in the world. So could your team. Just be aware the way taxes work on a state level. For example, if you hire somebody in a different state, that likely is triggering that state to start charging you taxes and you having to file your taxes in that state. So for example, if you live here, I'm in Vegas, so I use this as an example a lot. If you live in Nevada, in Vegas, and you hire someone on your team in California, you're going to have to find a ratio. And each state is different. That's why you'll rely on your accountant's tax software, but you'll have to apportion out revenue and salary to that person. So you might be triggering taxes. So if you're in a no tax state like Florida, Texas, Nevada, and the people you hire don't live in those states, you might be triggering a tax return that you have to file in that state that where your employee lives. Sorry. So just take that as a side note, because I don't hear people talking about that very often. And that is the one potential downside to having your team virtual all over the country, because in theory, your tax filing just got a lot more complicated at the state level. Federally, it doesn't matter because it's the same. So I just want to bring that up. But let's stick with the theme here of these entities, LLCs. Another challenge out there is buying asset protection when you may not even need it. There's a lot of different ways that you can protect your assets. There's inside of 401ks, they have their own protections. Inside of LLCs, they have their own protections. But then people start selling you things like putting your personal residence in an LLC or maybe putting your vehicle in an LLC. All these things that don't really offer much protection. Now, talk to a lawyer. This is not legal advice. But LLCs in general, unless we're trying to get into the S-Corp world, the LLC is an asset protection strategy. It's not a tax strategy. Like I've said in multiple episodes, you could be a sole proprietorship, like a kid selling lemonade is a sole proprietorship, or you could form the LLC. The tax strategies are identical. Doesn't matter. So often LLCs get sold to people as a tax strategy, but there is no tax strategy to having an LLC. It's asset protection strategy. So you have to ask yourself, what assets are you protecting? Because I have this conversation with young people a lot, and maybe they have negative equity because maybe they have student loans or car payments, things like that. And they're building an LLC because someone told them they have to protect their assets, when if God forbid something happened in their business, there's no assets for someone to come after. So just be weary of people selling you these asset protection strategies when on your end, you may not have many assets to protect. That being said, even as you start accumulating assets, don't run into some of these very extensive levels of asset protection. Like, I'm not going to go into the different levels. Again, some of them are way above my pay grade in terms of knowledge, where you start putting things behind privacies and overseas and all that, things like they can be legit. But for the majority of people, they don't need that layer of protection. And so you don't want to get sold. They need to spend thousands and thousands of dollars when if you sat down and built a balance sheet for yourself, your assets and the equity you have in those assets may not justify the level of protection that you're purchasing. So now let's move into real estate. Cost segregation studies are very popular right now, the term and the actual use of them. Let me briefly explain how they work. It's basically a way to increase your deduction on a piece of rental real estate. So, for example, if your normal depreciation would be $10,000 a year, just to keep the math simple, and you want to push it to $50,000, the cost segregation study in theory could do that because it's going to start adding up all the little things in the house that are not depreciated, quote unquote, slowly. So the problem you're going to run into is people run out and get the cost segregation study and they're like, hey, I can now make my depreciation five times greater from $10,000 to $50,000. What gets lost in that conversation is with that extra $40,000, can you even use it? And the short answer is a lot of people cannot. The reason is because when you are deducting real estate, if you need to qualify as what the IRS calls a real estate professional. That's what you hear all the time with, like, before he was president, Donald Trump debating Hillary, saying that he was smart to not pay it and he used depreciation. It's because at that time, before he was president, he qualified. And you have to qualify every single year. So that's why you could be a real estate professional this year and then not next year. He qualified, and that depreciation, in his example, allowed him to wipe out his income. Most people can't qualify for real estate professional, especially the most people listening, because the fact that you're running a business and you are the operator of that business, with few exceptions, that will eliminate you from using that. So in your example, the cost segregation of that extra 40 grand would do nothing for you. It would just put that 40 grand on your tax return for the future. Now, again, you wouldn't lose it, but you get talked into the study. You spend a couple thousand bucks getting it done. You take that extra 40 grand to your accountant and he just puts it on your form to be used in the future. And now you're basically out 2 grand because it didn't really do anything for you. So that's part of it. The other side of it, which made it more popular now, is because of short-term rentals, the Airbnbs. There's a different rule that can be applied there, meaning that if you materially participate in your rental, and there's a bunch of rules to that. You can do a whole podcast on the short-term rental loophole and how you use that, those losses. But you need to qualify there as well. So essentially, the one way is you have more than 100 hours or 100 hours plus for you and more than anybody else. But again, the two things you need to figure out is if you do the cost segregation, do you qualify for the deduction? And did you even need it? Because sometimes you're already in a loss. So just be aware of that. Again, the cost segregation study, it works and it's legit, but it doesn't apply to everybody. So you don't want to run out and spend the money. Now, the last one has to do with luxury vehicles. I get this one a lot because admittedly, the vehicle deduction is fairly complicated and it changed a few years ago under Trump. So it maybe even confused people more. But buying a luxury vehicle that isn't a heavy vehicle is not a very good tax strategy. And I admittedly am not a big car guy. So like when my clients ask me, I have to like usually Google the weight of like some of these luxury vehicles because I'm just not that into them. So I don't know. But like all the, what was it? I think we were talking about the Ferrari. Again, I didn't know it wasn't under. So let me start over. It's got to be over 6,000 pounds for you to really be able to unlock the bigger depreciations and the bigger write-offs. So if you buy a lightweight vehicle, no matter how much you paid for it, the depreciation schedule is actually pretty horrible because it's, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but in the first 3 years, you'll write off like 50 or 60 grand of it. And then it's about $7,000 in perpetuity until you paid it off, or sorry, deducted it. So for some people listening, if your vehicle is $200,000 or $300,000, just do the math on that. You're writing it off for like 15 years. So it's not that exciting of a deduction. Now, granted, where it gets nice is if your actual percentage use is like 80-90%, everything else is a full write-off at 80-90%, like your fuel, your insurance, your repairs, maintenance, things like that. But the actual cost of the vehicle, so people running out in December 2023 to go buy a luxury vehicle, if it's not a heavy vehicle and your business use isn't there, that's not a good tax strategy. So again, that gets over pushed a lot because people usually use the reference of like a G-Wagon or something that is heavy. But the misconception also is that you can just make it marketing. Like you can't just put your logo on the vehicle and now all of a sudden your trip to the grocery store or to pick up your kids, do all the personal stuff is a business trip just because you have your advertising on the side. The IRS already says no to that. So again, the vehicle is a legitimate deduction, but most people are running around thinking that they're going to go buy a $100,000, $200,000 vehicle and get that dollar for dollar deduction in the current year. And for most people and most of those luxury vehicles, that's not the case. So just be very cautious when you're utilizing some of those strategies. So do a quick recap because we finished pretty quick today. Be careful with C-Corps. Be careful buying LLCs for your business in a state that is not your home state. And I should mention also, when it comes to your home state, the states are way more aggressive than the IRS. Like they're smaller, they can be more aggressive. So, and especially in a post-COVID world where a lot of things went remote and the big revenue driving states like New York, New Jersey, California, they're losing a lot of residents to the Floridas, Texases, Nevadas, Tennessee, things like that. So they're getting even more aggressive so basically what I'm saying is if you're going to go get an LLC in a different state because you plan to move there, you better to hell actually move there because they're going to figure it out if you're doing it incorrectly. You have to spend more than 50% in that new state. And again, they're checking. If they suspect that you're doing this and they're auditing you, they're looking at where you're going to get your vet checkups. They're checking. They can audit or subpoena your cell phone pings. So you can't really hide. Like if you're living in LA and telling them you live in Vegas and they see your phone pings in LA 75% of the year, then you're not going to win that audit. So just if you're planning to move, get with a tax advisor, like do it legit. Like you have to actually move. Don't pretend to move because, again, the IRS doesn't care. It's not a state thing or it's not a federal thing. It's a state thing. And the states, the ones that you're probably most trying to duck are the ones that are most aggressive. Okay. The third one in the recap, buying entities and asset protection strategies that are not necessarily applicable. Like make sure you know what assets you're protecting and that it's valuable enough to spend the dollars. Cost segregation. Again, legit strategy for real estate, but for most people, they may not even apply if they go spend the money, get the legit capture of the bigger depreciation amounts, but can't apply it to the current year. And then the last one is luxury vehicles. Talk to a tax professional before spending that money because how you can actually utilize it is likely not as beneficial financially in terms of tax savings as you may think. So that's all I got for you guys this week, guys. I'm going to try to get back to my cadence of once a week. Work's been really busy, so I appreciate everyone supporting me and all the new clients. But the podcast sort of took a hit with trying to keep it going every single week. But As always, if you guys have any questions, and depending on when you're listening to this, we're running a year-end promo for Tax Strategy. We're going to have the link in the show notes. Again, you want to get that before year end so that we can identify all the strategies that will help save you money in 2023. Because once January 1st rolls around and the money hasn't moved, most strategies are no longer applicable. All right. Everyone have an awesome week. See you soon. Thank you for joining us this week on Build Your Wealth Muscle. The links mentioned in this episode are available in the show notes. For video clips and more information on tax and retirement strategies for fitness entrepreneurs, please follow my Instagram at ThePatDarby. If you found value in this episode, please do us a favor and share with a friend. If you tag me, that'd be appreciated also. Lastly, for help implementing any of the topics discussed, please book a call. The link is also in the show notes. Thank you again for listening and have a great day.